Look, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskans.
Welcome to Chinook Echoes. Today, some listening to the music of the far north. Professor Tom Johnston of the University of Alaska Music Department brought us some samples of Inupiaq songs, and he explains a little bit about Eskimo music. For instance, I was wondering if the Arctic environment is reflected in the songs and stories.
The environment is reflected in the music of the Inupiaq people, mainly in their dance motions and the stories which are told through the movements while dancing. Stories about subsistence, hunting, about accidents, about good luck. Many dances imitate the movements of animals and birds. Many of the dances are about legendary heroes and ancient figures in the folklore.
And the flights of fancy, or is it more of a
kind of thing? You see, inner people that do not have, that traditionally do not have a written history, everything is passed on orally. So the songs are like the library of the Eskimo people. They contain much of the past, and there's a vast repertoire of old songs which tell of the great deeds of their forebears.
What about the entertainment value, though?
The dancing of the Eskimos of Northwest Alaska is full of humor. It's full of high comedy, with comic masks and ridiculing your joking cousin and having fun with your trading partner. And for this purpose, neighboring villages stage inviting ins, where the dance team of one village, after it's got well rehearsed and it has its fur uniforms and its drums all prepared, they invite in the dance team and the friends and singers and dancers and drummers of a neighboring village. Villages like this are Gamble and Savunga on St. Lawrence Island, and Emonak and Alakanak in southwest Alaska. Pairs of villages who have this mutual entertainment where they all have a great time and they feast each other, and it creates good social relations.
Do we have an example?
Yes. Let's listen to Herbert Kinivak of Point Hope, and this type of song is called a Sayoon. In northwest Alaska, there are two main kinds of dance songs: the Sayoon class, which has fixed motions, which are known to everybody. They are assigned to that dance and that dance song, and everybody must learn that story. It is a specific story, and you must have the motions right. The other kind of dance class is Atutipek, which has completely free motions, and you just get up and improvise. This is mainly for the inviting ins, so the visiting team, who may not know the local dance stories, they can participate because they can just do their free motions. That's called the inviting in dance, the Atutipek. And here, Kinivak, he demonstrates also the very interesting Eskimo drum rhythms. This song starts off with a basic pulse in each measure of 5 beats. Then it moves into a basic pulse of 7 beats, and then back into 5 beats. So you get 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and then after a while it moves into 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. And then the song comes back into the 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Let's listen to Herbert. In that song, you may have noticed that halfway through, the tempo and the volume level increased. This brings up the level of excitement, and it is a customary way of performing dance songs in Northwest Alaska.
To repeat, it's a Sayoon, am I pronouncing that?
It's a Sayoon, yes. And it had real words. Most of the Sayoons do have real words, and most of the Atutipeks have the vocables, the nonsense syllables, which are usually ayayanga. Another kind of music besides dance songs is game songs. Children play games such as juggling with pebbles and hopping games. And we can now listen to Dinah Frankson at Point Hope doing the pebble juggling game song.
All I see that thing, sing the real kang and me. I love Sugalugo, Nana Sugalugo, overlook it, cow, darlook, overlook it, cow, darlook, kit canuna, kit canuna, Piana Lee, Neverling Arthur. That is Garum, Chokina, Igalipin, Kistani, Living a Rock, Katakatakara, Katakatakara, Anazoko, Zona, Alulu, Kunis Lu, Tikuyuna, Kimayuna, Novo Me, in the Kaksinya, Tarir, Milyamik, Tarir, Milyamik, hey!
This song has a fast little rhythm to accompany the throwing of pebbles in the air and catching them. The rhythm must suit the purpose. And also, there's no drumming accompaniment because it's not for dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the old... The grandmas teach this game and the song to the children. Other kinds of game songs are string figure game songs, where grandpa or grandma will very cleverly manipulate a string with the fingers and put it down and pick it up again and twist it around and loop it in and out, and then you see this bear walking across the ice, or you see the seal come up from the hole, and this little song goes along with it, and they sing the song. And another one is where they twist a loop around the foot, or you can twist it around your head, and you stick your finger in the loop and sing half of the song and twist the string. And then you stick your finger in the hole, and the other half of the loop, you twist it in time to the other half of the song. So that means that when you pull your finger suddenly out of the loop, it's back to where it was with no twist, you see, because you twist the opposite direction mm-hmm. for the second. Now, if you sing the song wrong, and you have one too many twists, you're not going to get it. Your finger's trapped, right? So you pull your finger out with a great big whoop, and all of the children are very surprised to wonder where all the twists have gone. The way that Eskimo children customarily learn from the elders is observation, through watching, sensory perception, using all of their senses and perceiving what's going on. It's not an abstract thing with books. the drift of game and the behavior of the sea ice, this is something that you learn so almost intuitively with your senses. And by watching these very clever string figure games and other games that the Eskimos teach their children, the children learn very skillful spatial orientation. See, out there on the featureless tundra and featureless sea ice, very easy to get lost, and many do indeed die each year. The ice floe breaks off, and nobody ever sees the group of hunters again, and there's some more widows in the village. This is a very terrible, tragic thing. But so they try to teach the children very good spatial orientation, and there's many words in the Eskimo language for upness and downness and here-ness and there-ness and insideness and outsideness, and you find these words in the songs, especially in these string figure songs where the string is going inside and outside and up and down, and the Eskimos learn these words and also learn the outdoor skills for measuring distance and judging where they are in the blizzard so they can find their way home again.
And that's incorporated in the song.
Incorporated in the music as a teaching mechanism.
A children's song from Northern Canada. You have been listening to Chinook Echoes with Professor Tom Johnston of the University of Alaska Music Department. And I'm Paula Schiller. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
This is Chinook Patterns. Today we continue to look at Native Health Services, in particular, the Community Health Aid Program. The Health Aid Program is one of the first to be taken over by the nonprofit regional corporations. It used to be administered by the Indian Health Service, but now, as a result of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, and the Indian Self-Determination and Education Assistance Act, the regional health authorities are contracting for more and more IHS services. The most successful service now being directed by regional health authorities is the health aid program. There are about 200 health aides working in the villages, and they serve a total of about 50,000 people. And when we say serve, that means on a direct one-to-one basis. The health aide is responsible for the health and sometimes life of people in the village. Their duties range from first aid, and accidents are the biggest problem in rural Alaska, to examining patients, reporting symptoms, and treating them. Also, the health aide shows patients and families about nursing care, and they are also involved in health education. Paul Sherry is the director of health services of the Tanana Chiefs Health Authority. He describes the role of the health aide from an administrator's point of view. After that, we'll hear from a health aide herself.
Most of the regional corporations that are involved, such as Tanana Chiefs, they have their health aides working under the supervision of a physician, and obviously this is most often by radio or telephone contact. The health aides also have a manual that they use to basically give a procedural outline for the services they should provide. The health aides have different levels of training, and basically we ask the aides to defer any case that they aren't prepared to handle onto a physician. If that means flying the person out of the village, then that's what it takes. Otherwise, our health aides Some of them have 20 years of experience in doing what they do. Others have received up to several years of on-the-job training with medical professionals and can handle a pretty wide range of problems. It's one of the when the health aides are chosen by the community, they receive 13 weeks of training over a period of a year or so from the Indian Health Service in Anchorage. And what Tana Chiefs is involved in is supplemental training, at least on an annual basis, and hopefully more frequently than that, and continuing education, as well as we've been focusing primarily on the training for the alternate health aides, which Indian Health Service hasn't really been able to provide in the past.
When you say when the community chooses their health aides, is that how it's done? Is it somebody usually from the mm-hmm. from the village?
Just about every situation, we have a working agreement with the village council whereby we will employ the people that they select. And this becomes a difficult way to run a health services organization sometimes, in the sense that we'll train an aide, and then later on the council may want to change their health aide, and this is not an unknown circumstance. However, having this agreement with the village makes sure that we have employed the people who the community can trust and count on when the kind of situations come up that do.
Is that based somewhat on past experience with outsiders coming in, not having a feel for what the community needs?
The community health aid work is really unique, in the sense that a person is full-time responsible for the health of a number of their relatives and friends, and knowing the situation of life in the village and the health problems that people get into and how they're complicated and handled is something that takes many years of experience, just as any medical professional position does.
The decisions that have to be made, especially in emergency cases, I think are hard enough for doctors that are trained and, you know, put themselves aside and know how to keep their emotions out of it. It must be very hard for somebody in a village where it is their relatives or family to be involved in those kinds of decisions.
This is why the reliance on the radios is so severe in this area. It's also there are also times when the health aides do find themselves in really uncomfortable situations in terms of working with a patient in a public setting, because the village is it's not like going to a private clinic or into a hospital for care.
The people in the village must rely on the skill and discretion of the health aide, and the health aide in turn relies on the radio to get directions from the doctors. With all that talk going on, it's hard to keep things confidential, especially in a small community like Eagle. The town of Eagle and its neighbor down the Yukon River, the village of Eagle, were made famous by John McPhee in his book, Coming Into the Country. He observed that people like to listen to the medical problems discussed on the satellite system. He also reports that the hospital in Fairbanks is 380 miles away by road and an hour and 20 minutes by air, and he tells of a time when an emergency radio message from the village was sent out. It was missed in Fairbanks, picked up in Hawaii, and from there telephoned back to Alaska. And still, in a matter of hours, a plane had arrived to fly the patient out. But not all radio messages are that urgent. Ethel Beck is the alternate health aide in Eagle. Her sister Bertha is the full-time aide. And Ethel was in Fairbanks to get the added training that Tanana Chiefs provides, and she told of the more routine uses of the radio.
Well, if a patient come in with a cold, and we just see his ears and throat and chest is okay, then we just give him medication to help him. But if he has white patches in his throat or earache or a funny noise sound in his chest, then we report it to the doctor. Anything that we're not sure of, we report to him, and he tells us what to do mm-hmm. or what to give.
And does then sometimes he recommend the patient fly in?
Oh, yes, he just did that yesterday. Bertha checked the patient, and he complained of his right side going numb every once in a while. And we didn't know what to do, so she reported it, and he told her to send him in. And so he's here now.
Are you going to go see him?
Yes, a lot of our patients that are in and out, we like to know how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And we don't just dump them on the doctor or in the hospital or something. We call or talk to the doctor and find out how they're doing. And we don't really have to, but it just, you know, it makes us feel like we should.
Mm-hmm. Follow through. Mm-hmm. Can sometimes that extra help help the doctor? You know more, perhaps more about the person's history or...
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. When we report a patient, we have to tell the doctor all the symptoms and the vital signs and then the history of what the patient had or what the parents had and things like that. Ego is pretty small, and you know everybody, and you can tell if the person is in pain or if he isn't, you know, and we can just tell pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have occasions in the village where people are shy or they don't want to come to you with a problem, or they're embarrassed?
Not too long ago, a couple people that are shy had problems that they would not normally tell me, but they were both drinking, and I think that gave them nerve. And they came and told me their problems. And in the past, when somebody has a problem, they've always come around and told us. And I don't know if it's because I'm older or what, but most of them, when they have problems like that, would come to me. And I don't know what Bertha would say about that. I mean, I don't know if they go to see her, but when problems come up, and I was at the clinic, they would come and see me, and we'd take care of it. But I try to... We let them know that what they tell us or what they have will not be spread, and it's our duty to be quiet about stuff like that. And so they trust us pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And you think they maybe trust you a little more so than maybe a younger person? And that they come to you more readily?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. A lot of people at home look up to me, and it's mainly because I don't drink, and I'm always I always try to talk with them and try to understand them, and a lot of them just say they have quite a bit of confidence in me, and I try to help them as much as I can.
That must make you feel very good.
Oh yes, it really does.
Ethel Beck, a health aide from the village of Eagle. In her next program, she talks about how she feels about being a health aide and about the problem of drinking. Fortunate Patterns, I'm Paula Schiller. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.